You to turn to John chapter 17, Gospel of John chapter 17. I believe Pastor Bannister preached from this chapter not too long ago, and when he preached, there was a verse that really spoke to my own heart, so I couldn't seem to put it down, as it were, and so the Lord led me back to that verse to preach for this morning. John chapter 17. And with our Bibles open, let us seek the face of the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we do thank Thee for Thy Word. We thank Thee that it is infallible, that it is inspired, and that it is inerrant. Lord, we thank Thee that You have preserved Thy Word through the ages, and that we do have a trustworthy account of Thy dealings with men. We thank Thee that the theme of Thy Word is Jesus Christ, and we would pray this morning that as we consider Thy Word, that we might see much of Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask Thee that we might not just read mere words and consider just old thoughts, but Lord, help us to experience afresh the power of Thy Word as we look at Jesus Christ. Lord, help me as I would bring Thy Word. Fill me with Thy Spirit. Help me to be Thy instrument and Thy vessel to convey Thy message to Thy people. We also pray, Father, for Thy people this morning, that Thou would give them hearts that are receptive to Thy Word. Lord, help us not just to hear another sermon, but we pray that they might hear the voice of the Lord this morning speaking to them. And if there is someone here, Lord, that is lost and without the knowledge of Jesus Christ, we pray that this might be the day of salvation, that they might flee from their sin and embrace the Savior, Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we need Thy help this morning. We know that Thou wilt give it if we ask. Therefore, we ask it, Lord. Give us the help of the Holy Spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 17, and I'll read the first 8 verses. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up His eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them me, and they have kept Thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever Thou hast given me are of Thee. For I have given unto them the words which Thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from Thee, and they have believed that Thou didst send me. Amen. We know that the Lord will add His blessing to His word for His name's sake. Amen. Now that 2003 is upon us, there are many who are in full swing regarding New Year's resolutions, ranging from the newest and safest diets, which promise fast weight losses, to the latest programs, which guarantee freedom from bad habits. The new year presents for many an opportunity to start over, to turn a new leaf, to begin with a clean slate. Though many New Year's resolutions start out with best intentions, they often fall short of the mark. They don't succeed. People don't stick with them. They quit. They lack commitment, focus, and desire to continue toward their goal. Consequently, many New Year's resolutions are scrapped quickly, and this leads many to resume what they were doing before. But there are those, however, who stick to their New Year's resolutions. They seem to be in the minority, and keeping to what they promise to do is not easy. Sometimes they might even fall back into their former habits. but they quickly recover and continue to strive to hit the goal. They overcome numerous temptations and difficult obstacles to arrive at their destination. They are determined, whatever it takes, to accomplish what they have set out to do. Similarly, I believe the same thing can be said about the church. There are some who say that they are determined to turn over a new leaf, to start over and follow the Lord. They start out fast and strong, and it appears in the beginning that they will accomplish what they have set out to do. But when hardships come, when temptations knock, when the world calls, they quit. Like Pliable in John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, they turn around because of the difficulty and go back to their former ways. It is as if the world comes in and chokes their desires. On the other hand, there are those in the church who are determined to follow Christ regardless of the cost. They are determined to know more of Christ, and that through thick or thin, rain or shine, they stay on the course which the Lord has directed them to follow. It is not easy for them, and the trials that they face may be great, but the desire that they have is to finish the course that the Lord has given them to follow. The question that needs to be asked, therefore, is what should we, as the church in Indianapolis, be resolved to do for the Lord in 2003? What should be our desire toward Christ? And our text this morning sets before us a good goal for all of God's people, for all of us here in Indianapolis to strive and attain for in the new year of 2003. We read in John chapter 17, verse 3, "This is eternal life, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." Notice the words, "that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ." It is clear from this text that one of the primary goals or resolutions for God's people for the new year 2003 is to know the Lord. And in a sense, we who are believers already know the Lord through our salvation, through our sanctification, and through our various experiences in the world. We know the Lord because He first knew us. In His mercy and grace, Jesus Christ revealed Himself to us. We know that Jesus Christ is our Savior. We know that Jesus Christ paid for our sins with His precious blood. And we know that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But in another sense, how little do we really know about the Lord? There is so much that we don't know regarding our Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, shouldn't God's people, shouldn't we want to desire to know Christ even more in the year 2003? Isn't this a good resolution to have, a good desire to have as we start the new year? That we as God's people might know more of our blessed Redeemer. And that our desire is for others to come to know Jesus Christ as their Redeemer. We know so many today, don't we? Our friends, our family, our neighbors that don't know the Lord. And this is a good desire for God's people to have for them. That they, in the year 2003, that they might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. Now, this desire to know more of God means more than an assimilation of theological facts. When I was in school, my favorite subject was world history. I don't know what your favorite subject was, but for me, it was history. And for some, I know that wasn't your favorite history. But that attracted me, and I had a lot of interest in this subject. I enjoyed studying the lives of great men of the past, of studying great events of the past, and of even studying important time periods of the past. Now, for some, that's boring. For some, they don't like that. They would rather study math or science. But for me, that interest was a great interest of mine. And dates and names were fun to learn because I had a keen interest in history. And I know for some, dates and names, you couldn't stand them because The only reason why you had to learn them was for an exam. And that was about the extent of what you got out of historical names and dates. But for me, I saw the bigger picture. I was able to put names and dates with faces and places and time periods, and for me it was very enjoyable. I wanted to know more about history. I had that desire. I had that in me to know more of world history. I wanted to experience history by getting as close to it as I could. And for me, history was not dead, but alive. It was not old, it was new. It was fresh, it wasn't stale. And it's because I had the desire, the interest, to know more about it. And for those who like any subject, you have that interest, that desire, you like it. That's why you enjoy the subject. Similarly, the desire to know God could be described in the same way. For some, to know God is like memorizing a long list of dates and names without realizing and seeing the real big picture. It's just like memorizing theological terms and going through academic exercises. And don't get me wrong, please don't understand me. There is a place for that. There is a place for theological training in the church. And that is why we have seminaries. That is why we have places where we can send men to learn and train the Word of God. But our knowledge of God needs to go much deeper than a mere intellectual assent to some theological propositions. We need to know more about the Lord in our experience. We need to learn more of how to enjoy God. We need to learn how more to experience His grace and mercy in our lives, don't we, brethren? It needs to go farther than just facts. The question arises then, how do we know God? And this text, John chapter 17, verse 3, answers that question. Our text this morning, John 17, 3, tells us in more specific terms what it means to know God. We read, "And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." It is possible for men to know God today. When we consider this possibility, we must marvel at the grace and love of Jesus Christ, because the fact is, we are sinners by nature. We don't have the ability to know God. Sin has deadened our minds to God. Romans 3 tells us that there's no one that is righteous. There's no one that knows God. No, not one. In and of ourselves, we can't and we will not know the Lord. But here in John chapter 17, verse 3, there is a way to know God. There is a way to know the Creator of the universe. And it lies outside of us. It's found in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, His beloved Son. This way to God is made possible through our Savior, Jesus Christ. The only way to know God is to know Jesus Christ. We read, "This is eternal life, that they might know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." Contrary to what many believe today, Jesus Christ is the only way to know God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. We can't know God through Buddha. We can't know God through Muhammad. We can't know God through self-meditation. We can't know God apart from knowing Jesus Christ. It is impossible. But to know Christ, therefore, is to know God. If we know the Son, then we know the Father. For us who desire to know more of God, we must therefore desire to know more of Jesus Christ. And isn't that a good resolution to have for the year 2003, brethren? To know more of Jesus Christ. As is the desire from the pulpit every week, and as you hear Pastor Bannister preach and say on a week-to-week basis, his desire is that Jesus Christ might be the attraction. What he means by that is that we might be attracted to Him? Yes, but that we might know more of Him, that He might be the center of our worship, of our preaching, of our lives as God's people. It is only as Jesus Christ is lifted up in the preaching of the Word, in our worship service, and in our public prayer meetings, can we know God. So the key here in knowing God is to know the Son, Jesus Christ. We probably all know this intellectually with our heads. And without knowing Christ, you can't know God. But here in John chapter 17, Jesus Christ prays as our great high priest. John chapter 17 is the prayer of the great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, as we probably learned several weeks ago from Pastor Bannister's message. And to know Jesus Christ is to know the great high priest. Now, what do we know about the high priest? Hebrews 5:1 tells us, "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins." One of the things that we know about the high priest in Scripture is that the high priest was the one who offered up the sacrifice for sin. But Christ, who is our great high priest, not only offered up the sacrifice, He was the sacrifice. He was the Lamb of God that was slain for the sins of His people. We may have a grasp of these things intellectually. We may understand that, yes, Jesus Christ not only is the great high priest, but He is the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. We may understand these things with our heads, but does the fact of the atonement, does the fact of Christ's sacrifice for our sins really sink into the depths of our hearts? Brethren, do we really know the atonement? Do we really know the work of our great high priest, Jesus Christ, the one who offered up sins on our behalf? Do we know this? Does it go beyond a mere intellectual assent? Does it sink down into our hearts, into our very depths of our beings? This is the resolution and desire that we must have as God's people for the new year 2003. I want to know more of my high priest, Jesus Christ. I want to know more of His work for me as the high priest, the one who offered up His life for my sins and for your sins. Isn't this a good desire to have for the new year? I don't think there's anything wrong with challenging God's people to have specific desires for the new year. I think so oftentimes, I know myself, when a new year starts, I kind of lack focus. I really don't have anything that I thought through or considered. How am I going to please the Lord this year? What specific areas of my life am I going to really work on to please the Lord? And oftentimes, I just kind of not even think about it. But when I considered this message this morning, this idea of Jesus Christ, knowing Him, and knowing Him as our high priest really gripped my heart. And I thought that as God's people, what a good desire to have as we start the new year 2003. But there was more about the ministry of the high priest than his offering up sacrifice for our sins. Since the high priest was the one who offered sacrifice for sin, he also functioned as an intercessor between God and man. He was an intercessor, the high priest. Hebrews 6:20 tells us, "Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." The word forerunner in this verse has the idea of a mediator. What Jesus Christ was, He was the forerunner or the mediator. He went ahead of us to represent us before the Lord. A mediator is one who comes between two parties, usually to resolve some hostility or dispute. That was the function of a mediator, of an intercessor. And when we know Jesus Christ as our mediator, we're saying that He has reconciled us to God. There's no longer hostility between us and the Lord because our mediator is between us. That's part of the ministry of the high priest. Jesus Christ was and is the high priest of His people. We read later in Hebrews 9, verse 15, "And for this cause He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." 1 Timothy 2:5 declares, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Therefore, not only was one of the functions of the high priest to offer up sacrifice for sin, but it was also to stand as an intercessor between God and man. And the question must be asked, how much do we really know about Jesus Christ as the mediator? Wouldn't it be a good desire, brethren, in the year 2003, to desire to know more of our mediator, Jesus Christ? How much do we know about Christ's mediatorial work in the place of prayer? When we come to our high priest in the place of prayer, how much do we really know about His interceding for us? Isn't it a good desire to know more about that in 2003? To want to desire more of the mediator, more of His mediatorial work in the place of prayer. I believe that's a good goal for us all to have in the new year 2003. And isn't it true that when we come to pray, oftentimes doubt and unbelief besiege us? Oftentimes we come into the place of prayer and we're so distracted and we're so overcome with the world that we don't even know where to start. We don't even know how to start. But if we know more of our mediator, if we know more of our intercessor, that will help us to pray in the year 2003. I know that's an area of my life that I need to develop more. I need to know more of my blessed Redeemer in the place of prayer, His mediation, His intercession on my behalf. And I believe with all my heart that if I know more of my Savior as mediator, He will help me to pray. He will help me to seek His face. And oh, how we need God's people to pray for the new year 2003. There's so many reasons for us to pray. There's so many causes and needs for us to pray. That's why we encourage you, brethren, to come out to the midweek prayer meeting. Because in some ways, the midweek prayer meeting is the most important meeting of the week. Because it's there where we do business with God. It's there where we plead the blood. It's there that we plead for the services for the Lord's Day. If we don't have that midweek prayer meeting, what good is it to have a Sunday meeting? We have to pray that the Lord will come and visit His people. One of the ways to do that is through the mediation of Jesus Christ. Do you know the mediator today in your life? I believe that in this new year, 2003, we ought to ask the Lord to have Him reveal more of who He is as our mediator. Oftentimes, I have a problem, it seems anyway, in my experience as in prayer. How do I get through to God? Oftentimes, I feel like my words just hit the ceiling and they bounce back to me. It doesn't seem like I'm getting anywhere in prayer. I don't seem like I'm spinning my wheels. And maybe that's the same experience of you as well. How do we overcome that? How do we rise above that when we go through those times? Know more of the mediator. Know more of our Savior, Jesus Christ, in the place of prayer. That's one of the reasons why when we come to pray, what is one of the main themes and emphasis throughout the time of prayer? The mediation of Christ, the intercession of Christ. And I believe that this, therefore, is a good goal to have, a good resolution to have for the year 2003. It is as we look to our mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, that we therefore can get through to God. We must know more of Christ as our mediator. We must know more of Christ as our high priest. We must know more of Christ in the year 2003. Here in John 17, Christ is seen as the great high priest. He is the one who offers sacrifice for sin. He is the one is the mediator between God and man. 2003 must be a year that we know more of the Lord as our great high priest. The question arises, why is it so important to know this? Why is it so important to be increasing in our knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ? Well, our text this morning, John 17, verse 3, tells us. It says, "And this is life eternal." And this is life eternal. When people talk about eternal life, it's a very serious subject. Because we're dealing with a subject that affects all of us. Everyone's going to live, in a sense, for all eternity. And when you talk about eternal life, there's a sobriety, a seriousness about it. How do we obtain eternal life? When does eternal life start? These are some of the questions that we ask. And John 17, verse 3 tells us, men obtain eternal life when they know the Lord. Eternal life begins not when we die, but when we know the Lord. It's not life merited by works. So many are under that bondage to try to earn and merit eternal life through their good works. And that was something that the Lord Jesus Christ saved me out of. A system that forced you to earn the hard way salvation through works, which is impossible to do anyway. But eternal life is not obtained by good works or by religion or by trying to be good or any of that. Good works, eternal life is obtained by knowing the Lord. That's the text right there, chapter 17, verse 3. This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. One commentator had a good insight on this verse. He said, "The nature of eternal life is not described in chronological terms, but by a relationship." You understand what he's saying here? He's saying that we ought not to gauge eternal life as to its length, but we are to gauge eternal life based on a relationship with the Lord. And that's when eternal life begins, when we know the Lord. He also goes on to say that the highest kind of life is involvement with the highest kind of environment. For example, he says, a worm is content to live in soil. A worm loves to live in soil, to live in dirt. Have you ever seen worms? They just love it. And when you take them out of that environment, they don't know what to do with themselves. And you can say that for any of the creatures of God's earth. But we as human beings, we need not only the wider environment of earth, sea, and sky, but also contact with other beings. But for the complete fulfillment of our being, however, we must know the Lord. There is within us, in every man, a desire, to some degree, though it's not perfect, to know the Lord. But because of our sinfulness, because of our wickedness, we go astray. That leads to idolatry. Some men try to know the Lord through their evil imagination. So they create idols. They create religious systems. They form sects. And that's their desire to know the Lord. But they go askew. They go off. They don't hit the mark. Others, they have their own ways of trying to find the Lord. But the fact is, every man has that desire to know the Lord. But when we, as human beings, realize the fact that eternal life starts when we know the Lord, it makes us realize that eternal life is not so much a sequence or a time frame, but it is a relationship. And that's something that really spoke to my heart in my preparation for this message. So oftentimes I think of eternal life in terms of sequence, of time. But when we understand the Scripture in John 17:3, We have eternal life now as believers in Jesus Christ, because eternal life is not chronological. It is based on a relationship. When we as God's people have been born again and know and have that relationship with Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. It's not something that we should be waiting for. Now, eternal life, it does go through various stages and glory, and we will go through various phases of this eternal life. But brethren, I want you to realize that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, you have eternal life. Because eternal life is based upon a relationship with God. And that's why it's so important in the year 2003 to know more about God. Because as we know more about God, we know more about what we have through Jesus Christ. Eternal life. Quality of life. These are all things that we as God's people ought to consider as we start the new year 2003. In verse 24 of John 17, Jesus prays, "Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory which Thou hast given Me, for Thou lovest Me before the foundation of the world." And still under this heading of eternal life, the fact is, eternal life will be climaxed when we go to be with the Lord. Because there we will be with the Lord forever. We will know and enjoy His presence forevermore. But until we get to that place where we will be with the Lord, we need to realize that eternal life is our possession now. We don't need to obtain it. We don't need to look for it. We have it. Because we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the only Son of God. Have you made any New Year's resolutions for the new 2003 year? Have you maybe wanted to straighten out some things financially? What are some of your goals for 2003? What do you want to accomplish this year? Maybe it's some personal goals. What do you and what do I want to accomplish for the Lord in 2003? John 17, verse 3 declares, and this is eternal life, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. To know God is a good goal for us all to have this year and in the subsequent years to follow. My prayer is for sinners for this new year, that they will come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. My prayer for the saints is that for this new year, they will come to know more of the grace and power of Jesus Christ in their lives. May this passage in John encourage us to know more of the Lord this new year. I close with a passage from Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, we do thank Thee for Thy Word and how it is so relevant to us today in the year 2003. Lord, we do desire this morning that we might know more of Jesus Christ. Lord, we confess that we know so very little of our blessed Redeemer. Even at times, Lord, we have to confess to our shame that Jesus Christ even seems like a stranger in our experience and in our walk with Thee. Lord, let not this be, but Lord, we pray that we might be like the disciples on the road to Emmaus, that when we heard the voice of our Savior, when we had fellowship with our Savior, that our hearts warmed within us and burned within us because of the truth that was being taught. Lord, make this our experience. Make this, Lord, our reality, this 2003 year. Help us, Lord, as God's people, to be able to overcome those obstacles, those things, those difficulties that will try to take us away from our goal, and help us by Thy power and by Thy Spirit to accomplish great things for our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So, Lord, we thank Thee for this time together. We pray now that as we go our ways, that Thou wilt grant to us traveling mercies, that Thou wilt dismiss us in Thy blessing and in Thy pleasure. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.